This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Monday. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Care, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, that's what I went with. Sure, the King and I talking about that on Friday. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, and they have a great selection of new inventory. And Stanger took great care of me, and financing was outstanding. Everything worked because they're the best in the business. And so what we want to do is we always want to go with the best in the business. That's Sunbury Motors. And don't forget, if your budget says, okay, Steve, you bought new. My budget says I can't buy new right now. Okay. Pre-owned inventory. They have just, the lot is loaded with pre-owned inventory, and they go through each vehicle. That way, you can have a great buying experience. Simple as that. And a terrific service department. Routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So,
we had a three-team trade while we were at a news break.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nothing exciting. Real exciting.
Aaron Judge get dealt?
No. The Dodgers are getting Eric Fetty. The Cardinals are getting Eric Fetty. The Dodgers are getting Tommy Edman. And the White Sox are getting prospects.
Tommy Edman, former State College Spike out of Stanford. This will solve the Dodgers' shortstop issue. When Mookie Betts comes back, he can play outfield.
It's also interesting to local people because Nick Dunn has been hot in AAA the last couple, probably for almost the last month. I wonder if he might get a call soon.
Another former State College Spike.
Yes. But Shikellamy High grad, for those of you that don't know.
Yep. Exactly. Great family. They were here all the time. So,
covered Nick Dunn when he was 8 years old, for heaven's sakes. Maybe he was nine by that point. But
what? Why would you cover him when he was 8 years old?
Eight, nine, and 10 year old division baseball. Once they get to championships and stuff like that, in the little league division, that's the tiniest little league division.
Okay.
It's going to shock you, but he could even hit like that back then.
Nah, I'm not that shocked. I was impressed when he was here. I thought, man, this guy really handles himself in the field and at the plate really well. You can just see, you're always looking to see how they handle things at this level. How do they handle it? And that's what I'm looking for right out of the gate. You know, getting good swings, comfortable, not overwhelmed by the pitching, not overwhelmed by the speed of somebody running down the line that may be a little different than what they're used to seeing. That's what you're looking at. And you could tell right away, he can handle all of that. But yeah, Tommy Edman's former State College Spike out of Stanford. And, he'll help the Dodgers right away. He'll solve their shortstop issue right away, and he'll give them a decent bat. Tommy's a good player. I always thought Tommy was a good player.
That's This morning it looked like he might be going to the Yankees for Nestor Cortes, but that must have fallen through.
Yeah, he would have helped the Yankees. Edmund would have. They probably looked at Nestor Cortes and said, no, we actually don't want him.
I can understand why the Yankees would want a second baseman. Watching Gleyber Torres doesn't look like he's putting forth 100% effort every single time sometimes.
And Matt's on vacation this week. He's on vacation. He can't defend his beloved team.
I'm pretty sure Matt's not defending Gleyber Torres.
No, he's actually, I think when they did the lottery, he drew the lot that said he was going to ship him out of there. Gone. You are gone. There really isn't... a lot of, as Bob Nightingale said, there's some value out there, but not massive amounts of value. It's only the, now, that changes if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is dealt. If he's dealt, okay, that changes the dynamic of that statement.
Dodgers got a bullpen arm in that deal, too, from the White Sox. Well, somebody you're familiar with, Michael Kopech.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Somebody used to throw 100 miles an hour when it meant something.
Yeah. He throws hard. Everybody does now.
Yes, they
do.
We're
all good. So, yeah, back in those days.
So it's just... It was earlier last week watching Aroldis Chapman. I was just thinking back, and when it was, everybody was so amazed that he always threw over 100 almost every pitch, and now, like 10, 15 years later, everybody does.
Right. You also have Tommy Johns left and right now.
Yeah.
And that is an issue. You get guys throwing their arms out. Because that is the way to get to the majors. And that's what they're doing, and along the way there's them. You even have people. Now this one really strikes me. You actually have people who are wondering if they should get their child, Tommy John, early. Like, what? You never...
Never cut yourself open voluntarily for anything.
Ever.
Anything.
Ever, ever, ever. Like, yikes, what are you doing? I couldn't believe I heard somebody actually say that. Like, really? I mean, I've actually heard that. I sat back and went, no, that can't be. But it was. Oh, who would even consider that? That's desperate. Oh, mercy.
Hey, Steve. Dick from Milton would like to speak to you.
Hi, Dick. How are you today? How's the lawn? Lawn look any better?
Well, I just got off the motor again. You know, it's pretty fast when you live close to the river. it's moist a lot. Anyway, I have a real quick. I was listening to your segment on your talking about overnight sportscasters or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's my question for you. I have a friend that does radio in Waynesport, and they can their stuff. They do it ahead of time and then play it. Do they do that in sports a lot, you think? In other words, like they need less staff because they play people that have already recorded the stuff later on in the day.
Well, we don't do it. Whenever we don't, like one of us is not on, we actually get syndicated programming.
Right, I know you do, but do you think anybody else might be doing that, though? I know they do it on TV sometimes. They'll play the same stuff over and over.
Yeah.
They'll eliminate that.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody that does it, because I know here in State College, there's a station, when they do a broadcast on location, which over the years used to be live.
Yes.
They'll record the segments and then play them back during the show. Like, okay. doesn't feel so live on location to me, but that's just me.
Well, I guess my question was, when people are doing music, it doesn't matter. As long as the music plays and somebody says something,
right.
Maybe it's not. It might have been recorded half a
that's
day
right.
before that by
and
somebody.
That,
it's just
right.
They might have done a live segment that stayed and recorded for later on in the day. That doesn't necessarily happen in sports. That was my question.
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of times, there are a lot of shows now where people, they call it voice tracking. So I would say that there is probably more of a trend to do a show that is, quote, live on tape and then play back like you're talking about. I'm glad we don't do that. I'd rather
I guess my question for that is, then there's really not much, there's maybe people not going to the field because the opportunities are more limited then.
It limits a lot of opportunities, and opportunities in this business are getting more limited, even though there should be more opportunities than ever because you have more cable TV outlets doing games. You have as many radio stations as ever across the country, and yet opportunities are more limited now. Part of that's budgets, and we've been fortunate.
Well, that was my question, and I'm going to let you go with one quick question. I'm going to hang up. When do you think it'll reach a point where if you don't pay for streaming services, you won't be able to watch a lot of stuff? I'm going to hang up on that. Thank you. I'll listen online. Thanks a lot.
That's a really good question. When? The sports entities, I think at one point, I'd say 2 years ago, where they were placing their bet, figuratively, that it was going to happen sooner rather than later. Okay? And I think what has happened is this. As time has gone, the SEC put together its TV deal. It was with ESPN. Now, they'll stream some on ESPN Plus, but ESPN. And the Big 12 went with ESPN and Fox, with some of it streaming on ESPN Plus. The Big 10 went with Fox, CBS, NBC, with some occasional streaming on Peacock, and BTN. The ACC, it's ESPN, ACC Network, and some streaming. The NFL took one package Thursday night. They put it on streaming, and then they're going to stream the two games on Netflix on Christmas Day, and one playoff game like they did with Peacock last year, except Amazon's going to do it this year. But everything else is on over the air. The new NBA contract, I think, reflects that trend, Dick, that it's not happening as fast as people think. Because it's ESPN ABC, it's NBC getting back, and then the streaming package, which is going to be with Amazon. So even now, the sports entities are taking a more cautious approach on how much they're putting on streaming and still putting the bulk of what they're doing nationally on traditional TV or cable. I think they're giving you the answer about the contracts that they're doing. The contracts they're doing show that they're dipping their toes into streaming and not going all the way in.
I think what they're also realizing is the streaming stuff will help them more worldwide, because I think that's what the NBA's thought is in saying that TNT is not matching the offer, because Amazon's streaming capabilities are way more than TNT, and they don't want that package on over-the-air TV, I guess, because that was part of the TNT wanted to put those games on TV.
Yes.
I guess the NBA just wants them to stream, which is a little odd, but I understand if...
Well, Amazon does have a worldwide reach.
Yes.
And you already have the NFL on Amazon. That helps the NBA. That helps the NBA, because if you got the NBA going to Amazon where the NFL already is, it's not like we're going to go with Apple. And this, I'm saying this with all due respect to Apple. It's not like you're going to Apple and it's completely different with fans already being used to being on Amazon watching Thursday Night Football. Like, it's a totally different streaming service. Major League Baseball does not benefit at all from the fact that MLS is on there. Major League and MLS doesn't benefit from baseball being on there. The NBA is going to benefit by Amazon already carrying the NFL. And you notice the Pac-12, theirs is going to be a streaming only with Apple. And it got rejected by everybody. The money wasn't high enough, $25 million. And the second that Oregon and Washington saw that it was streaming only and $25 million, they could not call the Big Ten office fast enough. They wanted out. Because if they were to get Apple as the primary, but still have a, quote, over-the-air possibility, the Pac-12 might still exist. But that over-the-air possibility didn't exist because Apple insisted that they be exclusive.
And that honestly might have been the best choice they made, because since then, Apple's one of the streaming services that's really struggled, and I don't know what happens to the Pac-12 after if Apple doesn't make it through that whole contract.
And Apple was only going to help the Pac-12 marginally, to be honest with you. They were only going to be marginal in terms of how much they were going to help. And I think that's now, if it'll be interesting to see what the Big Ten does at the end of the decade. But, Dick, you're going to see a lot of over-the-air games for a long period of time and cable for a long period of time, because nobody is ready yet to go all in. To me, the streaming part of it, to me, is equivalent at the moment as to how sports is digested. Streaming is the equivalent of those trying to tell you to buy electric vehicles right now. They're trying to force it down. Oh, streaming, it's the wave of the future. Streaming, it's the wave of the future. I'm sounding like Howard Hughes in The Aviator, right? Right? It's the wave of the future. You got to do it, got to do it. Electric vehicles, the wave of the future. Well, guess what? People don't want electric vehicles. There's some people out there that do, and if you do, great, buy it. But you can just see in pure sales, people are not sitting there going, I got to have an electric vehicle. No. They still want to go with traditional vehicles. Because that's what they like, that's what they're comfortable with, and that's what works for them. Same thing with streaming. There's still a segment of the population out there that wants to see over-the-air TV, wants to see it on cable, wants to have mass access to it. And if they want to go with a Roku or something like that, for example, and then set it up, most of them are going to have ESPN and the over-the-air networks anyway on their Roku account, right?
I assume. I've never actually had a Roku.
Right. I'm just using that as an example. I have not changed. I still have traditional cable.
So do I.
Do I have Amazon Prime on there? Yeah, I do. And I watch Thursday Night Football. That's fine. But I'm saying I know people who do have, like, Hulu, Roku, whatever it is. And, yeah. But they have all those stations on there. That's how they do it. Okay. And here's the other interesting part. You know what people are finding now with their streaming bills? They're just as high as their old cable bill. I got all these streaming services. Uh-oh. That's a lot. Okay. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick.
pick from and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sudbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Supercrews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Care, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. So Wednesday afternoon, Mr. Hamm and I will be playing a round of golf. I can give you his exact quote as we drive up to the first tee. Steve, need to talk to you about something. I said, sure. We can't lose to these guys. I was like, okay. The competitor is still there, Todd. The competitor is still there. We can't lose to these guys.
Do you ever get the stare?
No.
That's good, at least.
No. You know what? It's, when you're playing 2-on-2, I mean, he's not only an excellent player, but he's one of those guys, like, you hit a good shot, he's the first guy to, hey, great shot, partner. You know, he's that kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Very encouraging the entire time. And does not keep statistics on his shots.
Well, he probably doesn't need a shutter.
I'm 4-for-7. That means 3 times you screwed up. We needed those other 3. Rich Scarcella next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my 2 personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. It's hot out. Brewers Outlet's the answer to that. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, among many other outlets. Sir, welcome to you. Happy training camp week.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Doing really well and looking forward to camp. Last week was Big Ten Media Day, days. Did you learn anything from that?
To make sure everybody knows this, I was not there, but what I did not really learn anything. No, not anything really earth-shattering. The Abdul Carter thing, I think, you know, the fact that James Franklin confirmed that he was going to play both positions, but I wrote something off after interviewing Abdul immediately after the Blue White game, and he made it sound like he was going to be playing both positions. So that didn't surprise me, but really nothing that comes to my mind right now.
Yeah, no, exactly. What I told everybody here was that when they get to the conference media days, to me it's always the commissioner that is, to me, of the most interest, because during the year, he's the one that actually speaks to the media the least. And, Rich, I learned more from him. I don't know about you, but I learned more from him because he didn't talk a lot.
Right. No, I mean, the only thing that I think their status quo with the 18 schools, I mean, that is something. I mean, and then we could go on and on about NIL and everything else, but I think that was the big takeaway, that they're not interested, doesn't sound like it, that they're interested in expanding anytime soon.
No. As I said to the people when I was down in Florida, I had two speaking engagements down there, and of course with Florida State there, I got asked about it.
Sure.
I said, I want to see how 18 works first. It's never been done before.
Right. That's a great point, Steve. I mean, it's you know, to us, it's a little unwielding because 18 is crazy, but that's what it is. That's what it is. So I think the Big Ten probably feels the same way. Let's see how we do with 18.
Do you have to do a conference preview?
I will do one. Yes, I haven't done it yet. That is yes.
So now I want to ask you, what's it going to take to be up to speed on Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA as you put that together?
A lot of reading. I mean, I've done some reading, but it's going to take a lot of reading. I saw Oregon and Washington play last year. I did not see UCLA, maybe like bits and pieces. I'm trying to remember if I saw USC. I probably did. I just don't remember right now. So, I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, it is. It's going to take time. And obviously with Penn State playing UCLA, USC, and Washington, you're going to have to come up, you know, get up to speed with it. I know Washington looks like it's starting from scratch with one returning starter. But I think Oregon is rightfully so. Everything that I've read is they're one of the favorites along with Ohio State to get to the Big Ten championship game. They looks like they have the best quarterback in the conference, at least the most experienced and one who's had the most success in Dillon Gabriel.
When you talk to fans, what do they love about college football today, and where do they have reservations about college football today?
Let's start with the second question. They can't stand NIL and anything regarding that and the transfer portal. I hear that all the time. I can't remember if I was on with you. I spoke at Penn State Hazleton in June, and I got inundated with questions about NIL and the transfer portal, and I said, we could all gnash our teeth, but it's here to stay. What do they like about it? I still think people like I think they like the Saturdays, you know, going to a game, watching games on television. I think that's still important to a lot of people. I mean, especially when you see the money that's involved now in this sport, I think that's clear that it still remains one of the most popular sports in this country. And I think it's all, you know, the tradition, the crowds, I hate to sound like, you know, rah-rah, but this college spirit part of it. I think the thing that they don't like is the fact that amateurism is over.
Right. So you spoke at Hazleton, probably way better than the guy they had there last year.
I heard. I saw a lot of old friends there and met a lot of new ones. It was a very enjoyable night.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was great. They're great people there. I enjoyed it when I was there last year. You were probably exponentially more informative. So
I don't know about that.
So now when you look at this team, everybody knows the wide receiver part is, you know, it's the one everybody talks about over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a need to rehash it here for the 500th time. So pick something else that would be on the list of, okay, if this ends up being better, they'll be good.
Well, I think there's two positions other than wide receiver that come right after it, and to me it's the offensive line and also the cornerbacks, because let's start with the offensive line. Drew Shelton is coming off an upper body surgery. We saw what he could do 2 years ago as a freshman. I think the Penn State coaching staff has a lot of faith in him being playing left tackle, succeeding Olu Fashanu. But you also have you only have two returning starters, however you want to look at this, J.B. Nelson and Sal Warmley. I think Sal, I talked to Sal in the spring, he feels like he has a lot to prove. He feels like he's in a better place going into this season. He'll be at guard, and J.B. Nelson or Vega Ione will be at left guard. But the center, Nick Dawkins, has not played a lot of football. He's been on the roster, obviously. He's a terrific team leader, terrific individual, but there's some question marks. We'll see, you know, how he does. And right tackle, as you know, is up in the air, whether that's Nolan Rucci or Anthony Donko or somebody else. So I think there's some, you know, there's some question marks there. There's also depth. So I think that's something to watch early in the season. In the corners, you know, I think there's depth there, but with Cam Miller and Zion Tracy and Elliot Washington, and also A.J. Harris and Jalen Kimber, let's see who emerges. You know, you have two former Southeastern Conference corners in Harris and Kimber. You know, I would expect that they're going to, if they don't start, they're going to play a lot. And so I'm interested and curious in seeing those two positions after the wide receiver position.
And I'll give you one other name, speaking of former SEC corners, is a Davian Collins.
That yes, may be a right. guy that takes a long run. Honestly, I forgot about him from Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah. No. I did a thing this morning. Rich, I did a thing this morning where I was running down the team or whatever, and they were asking me about the offensive line. I forgot to mention J.B. Nelson. So it's like, when you're doing like 1,000 names.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. But you agree that the quarterback, I'm not saying it's a weakness or a strength or anything like that. I'm just curious to see how it plays out.
Well, I'm curious to see how it plays out as to who gets the playing time.
I mean, right, that's what I mean.
That's the entire point.
Who's going to play? Are they going to rotate 4 or 5 corners? You know, I think obviously with Tom Allen's defense, the 4-2, you know, the safeties are going to play a lot, and I'm interested in seeing how that works. You know, with you have three very, very good safeties, so. But yeah, the offensive line in the corners to me, you know, wide receiver first, of course.
Right.
But the most curious I am is to see how Andy Kotelnicki and Tom Allen, how they as offensive and defensive coordinators, what kind of impact they will have on this team.
Right, no question. And the other part too is, speaking of the secondary, I want to see who the fourth safety is.
I want to see who
emerges as the fourth safety, because King Mack transferred out. Now, who does that open the door to? Is it Lamont Payne, for example? Could it be him? Could it be one of the freshmen? Could they take one of the corners and move them over? I mean, that's what I'm interested to see that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm interested. You know, the other thing, as I mentioned earlier, is how much does Abdul Carter play at defensive end, and how much does he play at linebacker? Obviously, he's an impact player, and it'll be very interesting. I would even go as far as fascinating to see how he's used by Tom Allen on defense.
Then there's the place kicking part of it.
Yep.
I mean, you feel pretty good, at least I do, about punter Riley Thompson. Was even better in the spring than he was during the season last year. Gabe Wosu kicking off. But then there's place kicker. First of all, Penn State's cornered the market on left-footed kickers between Sahadic and Barker. And then you got Chase Meyer coming in. And what's your viewpoint? I mean, like, not who's in front of where, just your viewpoint on that part of it and settling it as quickly as possible.
Right. I think that's that's most important, is settling it as quickly as possible. And I don't think it'll be settled in the first week of camp. I think it'll go down to the end, and they'll look at the numbers from camp and from scrimmages and see how they did. I think, you know, Xander Hadak, who's from the Lehigh Valley, I think, you know, he was a terrific high school kicker. And I think the fact, I think Penn State would like to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Like, I think all things being equal, I think he would end up being the kicker to start the season. You know, Meyer was very, very good at Tulsa. So I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. Obviously, you can't really fool around with kicking, because kicking is such a big part of the game. But yeah, that'll be interesting to watch.
And the other part is Justin Lustig gives it fresh eyes, because that's the third new coordinator in there.
Right, right. We know that continuity is important, but we also know that coaches move around a lot in college football. You know, to have three new coordinators in 1 year, you know, that's a change. That's definitely a change.
There's also a couple of other changes that are taking place in college football. People that were analysts before now will be allowed to be on-field coaches all the time. The use of iPads, the use of helmet communication, as for some odd reason, college football has decided to try the 21st century just for a couple laughs.
Yeah. Right.
What do you think all these changes actually mean to the product we see?
Well, I think it'll help. The product doesn't need to, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I think it'll help. I do. I'm interested to see with the new rules, with, you know, you could have unlimited assistant coaches, what happens at Penn State. Like, does Danny O'Brien, does he become the full-time quarterback's coach? I mean, he is in effect, he's the full-time quarterback's coach. But does he lose his GA title? Who else gets named, you know, assistant offensive line coach or assistant defensive line coach or any, you know, like that? That's going to be instead of analysts. So I'll be interested to watch that, if that happens, you know, before. If it's happened, it's already happened. But if James Franklin announces that on Saturday at Media Day.
What about Bo Prabula? Everyone knows Drew Allard. You know, he's got 1 year under his belt. How curious, what is your level of curiosity about Bo Prabula and where he fits here?
I think based on what I watched, and I can't say I've watched hours upon hours of Kansas film or tape, but I've seen a lot. I think you're going to see the two quarterbacks on the field together at times. That doesn't mean in 20 plays a game or anything like that. No. But I think there's going to be, you know, maybe five or six snaps that both quarterbacks are going to be on the field. And Andy Kotelnicki is very creative. He was very creative at Kansas using two quarterbacks there. So I think Bo Prabula, as James Franklin said last week, he was a part of the offense last year. He's going to be a big part of the offense this year. In exactly what capacity, we'll find out. But I think Bo Prabula has value. I still think Drew Aller is the better passing quarterback. I do. But I think Bo Prabula has value to this particular Penn State team.
What about the schedule? I mean, West Virginia, there's no question, is a really tough opener down there. And from a Penn State point of view, I'm glad it's at noon and not at night. you and I have both had experience seeing that. But what about the schedule and the way it lays out, and the fact that Penn State doesn't have that road of going through the Big Ten East any longer?
I think it's a very favorable schedule. I do. And I'm with you. I think there was a lot of relief in your area when it was announced that the West Virginia game would start at noon. I think that's that's a big difference than a night game down there. Yeah. I think the schedule plays out well. Penn State does not play Oregon, Michigan, or Iowa. That they're three of the top teams that the polls that I have seen or the predictions, three of the top five teams right. in the Big Ten, and the other two are Ohio State and Penn State. You know, will trips to USC and Wisconsin be challenging? Sure. Yeah, no question. But I think this is a very good schedule for Penn State, and a very good opportunity to not only make the playoff, but get a home game in the playoff or even a bye, you know, if they're fortunate enough to get into the Big Ten championship game and win that game. I think I like how the schedule plays out. You know, I know James has made a big deal about traveling to the West Coast for that USC game, but he also maybe forgets to mention that Penn State has a bye week the next week. So I like how it plays out. I do. I really, really do. And you know, I think it's a good opportunity for the Lions to make a run here.
Yeah, the 14 Central and Eastern time zone teams, they go to the West Coast to play a game. Eight have byes the next week, including Penn State. The other six have home games. So the Big Ten did put some thought into it.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I understand why he has some concerns about going into the game, you know, about how to travel and everything like that. I get that. But you also have a bye week after, and you have time to recover. But I think it's exciting. I mean, it's a little overwhelming with 18 teams, you know, on one point. But really, you know, the fact that you're going to play UCLA and Washington, I know UCLA is not what UCLA has been, and that Washington is sort of reloading, rebuilding, however you want to put it. But you're playing them at home, you're playing Ohio State at home, and then you're playing at USC and Wisconsin. I mean, it's still a formidable schedule, but I'm talking about in terms of, as the Big Ten goes, that it's a favorable schedule. And I think it is, and I think it's exciting.
Rich, always a pleasure. We're finally to that time of the year. Thanks so much for your time. Valuable and important.
My pleasure, Steve. I'll see you on Saturday.
And that is Rich Scarcella. Saturday, by the way, will be Media Day. So we got that coming up. This half hour of the show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since.
SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116, and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick.
pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, Super Cabs, Super Crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.